In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So today we hear about St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. This is an important letter. It's one of the letters that he wrote while he was in captivity. So he's in Rome. He has appealed to the emperor as a Roman citizen. He knows that the case is not going to go his way. He's really using the time in order to continue to fortify the early communities of the church. He's writing various letters. He writes the Colossians. Imagine this old man, Paul, whose body is broken. He has done so much for the sake of the gospel. He's on house arrest. He knows that he's about to die a martyr for the faith. And he writes this letter. And he writes to the Colossians because their bishop had come to visit him. So he was able to come and spend time with him. The bishop shared with the apostle all the things that were happening. The generosity of the Colossians. Their faith. Their prayerfulness. Paul praises that at the very beginning of his letter. But the bishop is also very concerned as he brings to the apostles' attention that the Colossians had begun to engage in angel worship. You see, in the early church, it was a real struggle. This is why, by the way, the whole first part of the letter to the Hebrews, written about the same time, denounces all the angels and says Jesus is far superior to any angel. But a lot of early Christians began to fall into angel worship. Now, you know my love of the angels, right? The angels are pretty spectacular. In fact, we are told by the spiritual mystics, if we were to see the lowest of the low of angels, if we were to see them, we would think that we were seeing the presence of God because they are so majestic and so beautiful and so powerful. But as great as angels are, they're not God. Right? We do not worship angels. The Colossians began to fall into that. They also began to fall into a heresy called Gnosticism. This is a belief that Jesus wasn't really human, fully human. He just kind of looked human, appeared to be human, but not really human. It's what in theology we call a theophany. He manifested himself as if he was kind of sort of a human being, rather than being a true incarnate human being. And of course, we know the Gnostics were wrong. But the Colossians were dabbling with that. They were dabbling with angel worship. Even as they were saying, we love Jesus, right? So Paul actually never visited the Colossians. He never was there. But he heard about all this from their bishop. So he sits down and he writes this letter. And he reminds the early Christians, as he reminds us, that he gives thanks and praise for their faith in Jesus Christ, for their prayerfulness, the generosity and the kindness that they show to one another. He goes on, as we will hear through the course of time, to admonish them to hold fast to the apostolic teaching of Jesus Christ. Do not believe in false teachers. Read the letters of Paul. You'll be shocked how many times he has to denounce false teachers. If only we were as honest today and denounced the false teachers among us. We have so many false teachers, right? But everyone's quiet. You know, in the early church, it was common that one bishop would denounce a bad bishop. If it was a bad bishop, it was a cancer to the entire body of Christ. All the other bishops would denounce that one. But now there's just silence. Right? We know there are false teachers among us. Paul is strong and adamant about denouncing the false teachers in the Colossians. He says, stay away from them, avoid them. He says, hold on to the apostolic faith. That's what he says to us. We have a lot of opinions about who Jesus is today. A lot of opinions about what the church should be today. Right? We have a lot of opinions about what moral truth should be. We have a lot of false teachers. Of course, we can understand that among the unbelievers, right? They're always trying to change the gospel. They hate Jesus, right? They hate what we stand for. But to find it within the very body of Christ, that's the problem, right? When it's one of our own. The Lord describes such false teachers as wolves in sheep's clothing. He says, be careful of them. Let's take the apostles' wisdom and apply it to today. If you hear someone, a priest, bishop, teacher, theology professor, whomever it might be that represents the church, teach something that is contrary to the scriptures and to the catechism of the Catholic Church, they are a false teacher. Now they can play all their games, right? The more trained they are in theology, the more games they have in their arsenal, right? They play games, they throw smoke screens, they make everything confused. Well, the church is still reflecting upon that. No, she's not. She's pretty clear, right? You know, this is the teaching, right? But we hear this a lot. Right? Well, we're reflecting. I remember years ago, one very obstinate, defiant religious sister, if we can call her that, she didn't believe in Jesus. Right. They asked her, are you going to obey? Because the local bishop took action. Thanks be to God, right? Are you going to obey what the bishop has said to you? Well, we have to look at the word obedience. It comes from a Latin word that means to listen, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that will be no. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to obey. Okay, it's good to know, right? Of course, they used the church. Because if they didn't have father or sister or brother in front of their names, no one would care what they thought. Right? They'd just be another quack out there, right? But they used the church in order to promote their own agenda. They are false teachers. They attack the deposit of faith. And they want to look so enlightened. But we have to be aware. St. Paul understood the stakes. He himself was preparing for martyrdom. Even as he was preparing for martyrdom, he would write later to the Philippians, in fear and trembling, I have worked out my salvation. That he prayed that the God who could be a judge would also be his Savior. That all the sins that he had committed throughout his life, that God would be merciful to him. He clung to the hope that is found only in Jesus Christ. Paul wants to make sure that the Colossians have that same hope that is given to the apostolic teaching, that nothing would defile it or call it into question. Just as St. Paul wants that for each of us, to know what is truly the teachings of the church, what are true teachings of Christ, and to cling to them, that we might find the salvation that's only offered in him by right teaching. So as you move throughout your discipleship, I encourage you, study the scriptures, read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, be aware when you hear some who speak, and be aware and be able to recognize if there are false teachings, and avoid them. Avoid them. Do not let them have any authority or guidance over your soul. And instead, turn to the ones who are preaching the truth. Maybe you don't like their personality. Maybe you don't like the way they approach things. But if they're preaching the truth, you hold on to them. Paul was not a nice person. In fact, I suspect in today's world, if someone invited him to a cocktail party, they would have really regretted it. Okay, right? You know? Because his entire life is about the mission of the gospel and to bring the salvation of God to each of us. So make sure you know the faith, the deposit of faith. Avoid the false teachers and cling to Jesus Christ. Do not settle for angel worship or any such garbage. Turn to the Lord Jesus. In him alone will you find your salvation.